This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Powdersville, South Carolina. A soldier's armor must fit well and be securely fastened to him if it will do any good. Similarly, our spiritual armor needs to be built off of a firm foundation. God's word is truth, and Paul describes truth as the belt that holds our armor together. Today, we'll continue a sermon from Pastor Sam Horn entitled, The Belt of Truth. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14 and other passages. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And Paul is saying, I want you to think about how God used the champion to fight the battle for his own people in the Old Testament. God is doing the same thing for you. He has raised up a descendant of David, and he is using the word of God to defeat the enemy. And that's why Paul says, now look, when you go out, you don't go in your own strength. You don't go in your own armor. Notice what he says in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You go in the strength of this champion. You say, well, I don't understand how this champion thing works. And Paul says, well, I've been telling you all about it in the book of Ephesians, and I've been using a little phrase to help you understand your relationship to this champion. I've been talking to you about being in Christ. And we mentioned this briefly last week. That's the idea that there is an indissoluble relationship that you now have with Jesus Christ, your champion, when you became a Christian. When God put you together, there is an association, an indissoluble association that you now have with Jesus Christ. It is a formal association. It is legal. It's legally binding. It's spiritual. It's personal. It's intimate. It's marked by unswerving loyalty and unfailing devotion and unimaginable, unbroken affection. And Paul says, the only way I know how to even give you insight into that unbreakable bond and unbreakable union that you have with this champion is human marriage. When two people are bound together in an indissoluble union. And so when you go out to fight, that's the strength that you carry. That's the armor that you bear. Paul describes it in Romans as an armor that is light. Put on the armor of light. And then he's going to say a little later in Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, you will not make any provision for the desires of the flesh. And so Paul says, you're to resist the devil and you're to do it in a strength that God supplies. And so that brings me to the third question this morning that I have in my mind. And that is this, how in the world do I actually access that strength? How do I go about being strengthened with the strength of God? And Paul's answer to that in this text is this. You strengthen yourself in the Lord when you take up the armor. How do you do this? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you strengthen yourself with this armor that he describes in Romans as an armor of light? How do you do this? You do this when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take up the armor. And that's exactly how he describes it here in our text. He talks about taking on or putting on like you would put on clothing. He says you put on three pieces of armor that you wear all the time. And in fact, he says you are not ready to encounter the devil at any time in any place. You are not ready for that until you put these pieces of armor on. And so he says, let me describe them to you. You need to put on truth like you would put on a belt. You need to put on righteousness, the righteousness that Christ won for you. You need to wear that righteousness like you would wear a breastplate. And there is a confidence, a stability, a preparation, a readiness that needs to mark you. And that comes into your life when you put on the peace, the shalom that God won for you, and you wear that peace like a Roman soldier would strap on his battle shoes so he couldn't be knocked off the field of battle by an enemy push who came against him. So you're to put on certain pieces of this armor that Christ won for you. And then you are to take up things. You are to take up, for example, the helmet to protect you. And that helmet is the assurance that you really do possess and will one day have all of the full benefits of the salvation that Christ won for you and granted you. Take up a helmet made of salvation. Take up a shield that consists of the doctrines that God has given you to believe, because through these doctrines you will be able to recognize any falsehood and quench any temptation that Satan throws against you. And then take up and wield a spiritual sword, a sword the Spirit has given you, by which our own champion defeated the devil 3 times when he said in those temptations, "It is written." So, this morning we are going to look and zero in on the first of those pieces of armor that Paul says we are to strap on. If we are going to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, here's the way you do it. You strap on the armor that Christ himself won for you. And the first piece of armor is this piece that is described in verse 14 as a belt of truth. And so I want us to look at 3 things about this belt this morning. All right. Number one, I want us to ask and answer the question, what exactly is it? When Paul says, put on the belt of truth, what is this belt? All right, so let's talk about its nature. And the nature of this belt is described in the 2 words that Paul uses. The word fastened or girded that you see in the NASB, as you read the NASB, and the word waist or loins. The idea of girding up your waist or girding up your loins. So understanding how this belt works involves strapping on something around a particular part of our life. And so let's talk about that for a minute. The word that Paul uses when he says fasten on or strap is a word that describes putting on a piece of clothing. Paul has already used this language, hasn't he, in chapter 5 when he tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new. And then he describes what that spiritual clothing should look like in our life. So we're understanding when Paul says strap on, he's talking about putting on something in our life. In the Old Testament, this was often used. This term was often used to describe somebody strapping on a weapon. For example, in Judges 3:16, one of the early judges of Israel, a man named Ehud, made a 2-edged sword. And he strapped it to his right thigh under his garments. That's the word. In Judges 18, 600 men of the tribe of Dan are described as being armed with weapons of war. They have strapped on weapons of war. That's the idea behind this word. And in Psalm 45, the ancient hymn writers of Israel, the sons of Korah, celebrated King David going out to battle and exclaimed about him, "Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and in your majesty." So the idea here, whatever is going on here, it means you need to strap on something. And where you are to strap this on is your waist or your loins. So what in the world does the Bible mean when it says gird up your loins? We don't talk that way. We just don't use that expression today. But in the Old Testament, the idea there would be this. Your waist, your thighs, your loins would be the source of life and strength. When the Bible wanted to talk about the idea of new image bearers coming into the world, he described them as the fruit of your loins. When God wanted to talk about strength and fortitude, he described it in terms of your waist or your loins. And so the idea of strapping on or girding up your belt around your loins was the idea of being prepared. Get ready for strenuous activity. Get ready for a military endeavor. This is what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. The idea there's gird up the loins of your mind. And some of your Bibles actually use that language. And so the idea there is that we are to strap something around us that will prepare us for strenuous activity and maybe even for military action. And the thing that we are to strap around us will provide stability and it will provide accessibility. In battle times, if you were a soldier in the Roman army, you would wear this and it would do two things. It would protect a very important part of your body, but it would also be the place where you would hang your sword. You would strap on your sword so that you had easy access to this. It would gird up your tunic if you were working or you were or needing to do some strenuous activity. It would gird up your robe so that you weren't tripping or your robe wasn't getting in the way of your activity. So whatever Paul is talking about, we are to put it on and it needs to be accessible to us and it needs to prepare us so that we are not caught and we don't trip in the heat of the battle. So what is it we're supposed to strap on? And the answer is truth. That's what the belt is. The belt is truth. And Paul has been talking about truth a good bit in the book. In chapter 1, he talks about God being the author and the source of all truth. And because God is the source of all truth, he is faithful to his truth. And that's why the Messiah could say in Psalm 31, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O God of truth." That's a very stunning statement, because when this was actually stated, the Messiah was hanging on a cross at the lowest point of his life, and he had accessible to him a weapon. And the weapon was the truth about God. And the truth about God was this: God, you are a God who is always true, and you made promises to me, and so I rest in you, even on this cross. So God is the source of truth. Christ is the embodiment of truth. The living word, John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, we all know this verse. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The truth, Christ embodied, the embodiment of truth, is actually written down for us in the written word. We could say it this way: the living word, Jesus, has now been explained and proclaimed through the written word of God. So the living word is married to the living or the written word, and that word is truth. And that's exactly what Jesus prayed in John 17 when he asked the Father to sanctify us by truth. And then he says, "Your word is the truth that will do this." And so that word is how we are saved, and it is what God uses to sanctify us. It's what the Spirit of God teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Paul says, "This is not how you learn Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." Christ has caused the Holy Spirit to teach us truth, and then we have a responsibility now to confess that truth, to agree to it. That's the idea in Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. Confessing together that we believe the truth and then obeying that truth. Speaking each one of you true to his neighbor. And then in 3 John chapter 3, walking in that truth. "I was glad when the brethren came," John said, "and testified to your truth," or the truth about you, in other words. That is how you are walking in truth. And so, Paul says this: if you want to be strengthened with the strength that God provided, if you want to fight in the strength and in the armor of your champion, here's the first thing you have to do. You have to have a meaningful commitment to an embracing of truth. You need to strap it on your life. And that brings me to the second question, and that is this: why? Why truth? Why is this so foundational? Why is it so important? And the answer is this. Truth is foundational to who we are in Christ. I mean, think about this. Truth is actually the first line of attack. When Satan comes to you and he's going to attack any part of you, or he's going to come in that evil moment and he is going to try to tear down the shalom that God has established, this is always where it starts. He's always going to present to you a deception. And we shouldn't be surprised. That's his nature, right? He is marked inerrantly by truth, by falsehood, and he is actually the source of all falsehood. So do you remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when he first showed up, he had a question, and the question was what? Did God really say? This has always been a war over words. From the very beginning, it's always been a war over words. Take any sin you've ever committed in your life. Take any defeat you've ever experienced from Satan in your life. Take any one of those things, and it began when you stopped believing the right words. And you started leaning on your own understanding, and it led you to the wrong words. And that's why when Satan comes at you, his chief weapon is deception. It is foundational to every one of his strategies. Remember, he has many schemes, but every one of those schemes, every one of those strategies starts at a starting point that is the same. It is deception. And that's why Paul says, listen, when you go up against that enemy, it doesn't matter what strategy he rolls out. It doesn't matter what tactic he tries to employ. If you wear this belt, you will withstand him. It's truth. It's foundational to who we are. It's foundational to what we do. We are to display that truth. I mean, we are the truth. We have been brought into the truth. It's foundational to our identity. Paul says this, you know, you are not just in the light, you actually are light. You used to be darkness. So one of the ways Paul talks about truth and error is he uses the idea of darkness and light. And he said, you were a son marked by darkness. You were a child marked by darkness. And now you are light. You're not just in the light. The lights didn't just go on for you. You are actually light. Light marks you in your inner man, and when you stand in your glorified body, that light is going to radiate like it did when Jesus was transfigured. You are light. It's foundational to who you are. And now that light has a function. You are to display something to the world. You, as the church in 1 Timothy 3:15, are the pillar and the support of that truth. If the world wants to see truth and know truth and understand truth and experience truth, there is a place where God would say, now you need to go there and you will see truth, you will know truth, you will experience truth, you will be blessed by truth. And that place is a community of people who are truth. You are the pillar where God displays it, and you are the support. You are the one place on the planet where the truth resides in an undiluted way. And that's why you're to use the truth as a foundational means to stand victoriously for Christ. That's why Jesus looked at people in John 8 and he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Remember that line? The truth will make you free. And then there's a stunning verse in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. John says, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. How did we do this? And the answer is truth. And that brings us to our final thing this morning, and that is this. So how do I use this belt of truth effectively? How do I use this belt effectively? I was reading an ancient Puritan writer this week who wrote a massive three-volume work on this armor, and it is stunning what he wrote. And he used an illustration that just really caught my mind. I want to share it with you this morning. He talked about a miser who had, over the course of his life, accumulated many, many bags filled with all manner of gold and silver and beautiful precious stones and gems and jewels. And he had those bags tightly tied up, and he would go in the room where these bags were every day, and he would just sit in the midst of the bags. He would hold the bags in his lap. He would just rejoice in the treasure that he had in these bags. But he never opened the bags. And so one day, a thief came into that room and replaced the bags. Left the same bag number of bags that were there with the same outer look. But inside the bags that he left, he placed brick and pebbles and straw and bits of broken glass and left those bags, and he took the bags of treasure. And the miser never knew the difference. He came in the room every day and was just as happy with the bricks and the pebbles and the broken pieces of glass as he was, or as he had been, when he had the gold. Why? Because he never opened the bags. And, you know, I thought to myself as I was reading that illustration so many times, that's exactly what happens to me. I have this majestic truth, this treasure that God has given to me in His Word. And because I don't know it, or I don't look at it, or I don't read it, or I just pull up some familiar verse, I never go inside and I never receive it. When Satan steals it away from me, it's a long time sometimes before I ever discover the loss. And so how do I use truth effectively? Well, I would suggest to you that there are a number of things that we need to do. We need to read it and hear it regularly, thoughtfully, and accurately. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. How many of us have been knocked off our worthy walk because we did walk, and we did sit, and we did listen to the wrong words? So what protected the psalmist? His delight is in the Torah of God, in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night. Paul said to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, because he accurately handles the Word of God. So we must read it and hear it regularly. We must receive it eagerly and submit to it willingly. Peter said this, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Do you realize that as you come to church on Sunday, or you go to a equip hour, or you read your Bible in the morning, you are actually arming yourself for the battle that God knows is coming your way that day? We need to read. We need to receive the Word and submit to James 1:21, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And in Luke 6, Jesus had a very piercing question. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I say?
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll conclude this sermon, The Belt of Truth, next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the lead teaching pastor of Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 100 Powers Boulevard, Piedmont, South Carolina. Come join our worship service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billieux. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.